Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course your host as usual, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
I'm doing all right, man. As best as I can be, man. You know, it's officially 1 week from the Mets getting eliminated, so I'm gonna finally share my thoughts about that. You know, have a lot to get off my chest. Finally, had to wait a week to do this, so I'll get to that, be off the show with that, and of course, I'm going to talk about the Knicks battling, you know, the Lakers at the Garden, which could be Kobe's last game. We'll discuss that, of course. We'll talk about Of course, the Nets, how they're doing, and of course, talk hockey, talk Jets, Giants, basically everything, and of course, the major news that happened to WWE that affected the upcoming SummerSlam, not SummerSlam, I should say Survivor Series pay-per-view event coming up later this month. So we're gonna get into that, but of course, you guys know most importantly. The number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to share your thoughts on these topics and more. But yeah, let's start with the Mets, man. As you know, like I said, the World Series ended officially 1 week, and yeah, man, I'm ready for the big payback, man, because I know it's just a week, but it feels like a bad dream, man. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get past it, but there's no giving. Even though Mets got the awesome pitching, there's no giving that that Mets will return back there, because that's how I felt in 2001. I thought, hey, we went, 99, we lost in the NLCS. Then 2000, we lost, in the World Series to the Yankees, of course, which you're, of course, I know you're familiar with that.
Yep.
And I thought 2001, hey, we're gonna put the final, get the final pieces, maybe go after A-Rod, sign him, and make that run for the championship. And as you know, that never happened. And basically, Mets had to wait 15 years to get back to where they needed to be, and that's the World Series. But unfortunately, the Mets, man, all these messed up plays, they let every game, even the game where they got beat up by the Royals, game two, they led 1-0 briefly in the beginning until the Royals scored 7 runs and Cueto, got a complete game, game two, with two hit, gave up only 1 run. But all the games we had the lead, including, game five, where Matt Harvey, he pitched a brilliant game. He went 8+ innings, try to complete the game. And of course, before the inning started, Terry Collins, told them that, he's done for the game. But as you knew, Matt Harvey was going to do, he has that bulldog mentality. He didn't want to leave the game, thought about his legacy and, the team needing that pivotal win so they could push a potential game six in Kansas City. Unfortunately, Terry Collins, he brought him in, and Matt Harvey gave up, the hits to score the extra run, and to knock him out of the game 2-1 at the time. Brought in Familia, and of course, Murphy had, that costly error. And that opened up the floodgates, and they basically whooped our behinds in extra innings, and Royals are your new world champions. And basically, my thought about the whole thing is, obviously, I'm PO'd about it, but I support Terry Collins' decision to start Harvey, because I thought that should have been a non-issue. I thought Harvey should have started the ninth. My problem is that he shouldn't have decided to take him out before he went into the game, because Matt Harvey had to basically lobby to for him to start the ninth. And you could clearly see Matt Harvey was not the same pitcher he was the first 8 innings. So
Right.
my thinking was, I'm sorry, I'm gonna let you get to your point in a few seconds.
Oh, no, I'm disagreeing with you.
I just felt he should let Matt Harvey go in, have a short leash, you know, see how he was doing. Of course, had familiar warming up as he did. But my problem is that he shouldn't have told Matt Harvey that he's out of the game, and to make Matt Harvey had to basically use all his energy to try to convince Terry Collins to put him in, which Terry Collins did, but he ran out of gas. So my thinking was Terry Collins should have let him start the inning, see how he did, and then took, you know, before, you know, basically he didn't have it with that first batter he faced. So he could have took him out right then and there, you know what I'm saying? But basically that really killed the Mets. And basically, you know, Familia, he was great this regular season. I gave him a pass for game one because, I mean, the guy, you know, he threw one bad quick pitch, which, you know, unfortunately I had a feeling one day it would bite him in the dust because, you know, basically most of the times when he throws a quick pitch, it's a fastball. I think in this case it was a breaking ball that didn't break in that tied up the game for the new free agent Alex Gordon. But yeah, other than that, you know, obviously the bad errors, you know, in this series basically cost it for the Mets, and now Jairus Familia has the most saves and most blown saves in World Series history. But it's a really bad opportunity, man. Mets had the opportunity to, you know, hopefully win the championship, and they just blew it. They did not look ready. They didn't look like the same team that took them to the finals. And I'll just let you share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, man, you made some valid points there. I mean, Mets were clearly outmanaged, outhit, outpitched, and outmatched by the Royals' experience in this series. The Royals showed in this series that they were the better team. I mean, you know, they were relentless. I mean, they were hitting almost any pitch. They were coming back from leads. You know, they were getting to closers. They were getting clutch hits. You know, Royals, you know, they show why they're a great team, you know, and Mets had their chances, you know, but, you know, they had the two blown saves in the series?
Three
blown saves, yeah. I mean, you know, you can't let that happen, you know. When you have a team down, you got to close the lead. You got to close the game, you know. And, you know, it probably should have went to a six game. Who knows? Maybe a seven game series. Who knows? If Mets hadn't blew those games, but you know, you can't look back now. I mean, it's done. You know, the Royals came back. They won those games. Came back off of the Mets closer twice or a few times, and that Matt Harvey, that last game where was it game five or was that game four?
Five.
That was game five, right? That was the final game. Okay, so I thought Harvey should have went into the ninth to because he was pitching a magnificent game. So I thought he should have started the ninth instead of bringing the closer. But I guess you know, the manager wanted to take him out and bring in the closer, which is understandable because, you know, Matt Harvey, he does have a, you know, they want to prevent him from having any, you know, issues with the arm since he had, you know, he was out for a year because of an arm injury. So I guess he's being cautious there maybe. But I thought Matt Harvey deserved to go into the ninth since he was pitching a great game to close the game out, and him having to lobby to go in and that kind of left him flustered, and that affected his pitching performance after that. I mean, he wasn't the same pitcher in that ninth inning compared to the previous eight, and Royals got to him, and then Royals got to the Mets bullpen once he left, and Royals ended up coming back, winning the game, winning the series, and, you know, all the Mets could do now is, you know, just try to get better and hopefully make it back to the World Series. But before anyone talks about getting payback on the Royals, you got to make it back to the playoffs first. You know, that's the main thing. You got to get better. You got to get more pitching. You got to get better hitters. And you got to get back to the playoffs and maybe eventually get back to the World Series. So you got to start from scratch again.
You're 100% right. I agree with everything you say. And, you know, I take nothing away from the Royals. You know, congratulations to them. You know, it hurts me to say this, but they were the better team. I mean, Mets were trying to upset the Royals. I mean, everybody knew that. Everybody and their moms were picking the Royals to win, unless if you're a Mets fan. So, you know, I give the Royals all the credit in the world. They beat us. They outplayed us. I mean, the Royals, they must have thought they were playing Survivor because they outwit us. They outlast us. They outplayed us and outlast us, outsurvive us or whatever, man. They just every time, you know, like how they say when a home run hitter gets on base, you know, gets to the plate, they're like automatically in scoring position because of their power.
Yeah.
The Royals, man, every time they got on base, they were in scoring position because they stole on us. They stole on us, man. We should have pressed charges on them. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, I didn't know if we were playing against the Royals or the Beagle Boys.
Yeah,
I mean, it was ridiculous how they kept stealing on us. It was frustrating. It was absolutely frustrating how they outplayed us. And the way how we played in the World Series, the defense, the bullpen, I mean, it looked like we thought we were in a spring training game. That's how much the Royals dominated us, man. That's what really, you know, really made me PO'd the most is that, man, I forgot my train of thought. It was like, had they played better, had they played defense, and just especially, you know, up the middle, and I had these bonehead plays like Cespedes getting caught to end the game four in a game-ending double play. I mean, they just outplayed us, man. It was really this Mets team was, and I've seen teams get swept in the playoffs. This had to be like the worst postseason team I've seen in the World Series, played in the World Series. And don't get me wrong, the Mets were great in the, you know, the NLDS, the NLCS. They overcame Greinke and Kershaw multiple times. They defeated Jake Arrieta and Lester and that potent offense of the Cubs, which they're also on the rise along with us. But, man, the World Series, man, you know, Murphy, you know, you knew he wasn't going to go on that tear forever. And Cespedes, man, he didn't do nothing. I mean, nobody did anything, really. I mean, Wright had some hits, you know, here and there. I mean, Conforto, he had that game four where he hit two home runs. You know, but other than that, people didn't do anything. The heart of the order was horrible. The only person who did something was Granderson, and he recently had surgery.
Right.
He was playing through the surgery. Kadir, when he played, he didn't do anything. He just had surgery too, which explained how he looked lost at the plate. And, man, it was just a wasted opportunity. Mets could have won the World Series had they played the game better. They had to be perfect to beat. We knew they had to be perfect to beat the Royals because the Royals, they went to the World Series before. They got their payback from last year. You know, they went this far to the playoffs and they lost. And now they're the champions now. And now we gotta do what we have to do. Whether it's re-signing Murphy or Cespedes, which I don't think they will, but they did make a qualifying offer of $15 million, but you know everybody expect Murphy to reject it because so far everybody in the history, I think it's 34 people so far who's been offered quality offers prior to this year, and everybody's turned it down. So if it was me and you, someone offered us 1 year, $15 million, you know we're signing up for that. But
oh yeah.
But you know, in baseball, you know, he feels, I'm pretty sure he'll get a 2 or 3 year deal, maybe even four. So he's most likely going to reject it and become a free agent. And I don't know if they don't re-sign those guys or at least get somebody. I don't know. Get somebody comparable. I mean, I don't know who you're going to find who's going to be comparable as Cespedes was in the regular season. I mean, it's a strong chance they're not going to make it. I mean, they would need everything to break right. They would need the pitchers. We know they're going to do their thing. But they just got to really shore up the bullpen, maybe by signing Darren O'Day, or you know, definitely improving the offense. You know, whether it's signing Dexter Fowler or Hayward or somebody of that ilk. You know, I mean, they have a lot of work to do. I mean, obviously they have the starting pitching, but other than that, they really need to, you know, work up the middle. I mean, I know they're thinking about, you know, maybe giving the starting second base job to Herrera, who, you know, who's shown flashes of playing well, or Flores, you know, who you know, of course, after he nearly got traded, he showed flashes of, you know, his brilliance until he got into the postseason. So, you know, we'll see what Mets are going to do about that.
I think they'll sign one of those two guys, Cespedes or Murphy. I think one of those two will be coming back.
Well, I hope so. I know Cespedes didn't do well, but you know, in the postseason. But I don't know if they're going to get anybody else. Anybody else is available without, you know, giving up one of their starting pitching. You know, getting an impact player on the market like that. So I think they should re-sign Cespedes. I mean, but we'll see what happens. And I like Murphy. You know, he's been on the team since 08. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him back one more year, you know. At least one more year, you know. But we'll see what happens, you know. So, Alderson has a lot of tough decisions, but one of the easiest decisions he did was offering Terry Collins a 2-year contract. So Terry Collins will be back with the team for at least 2 years. So congrats to him.
Congrats.
But moving on, somebody who might not be back next year is Kobe Bryant. And, you know, prior to tonight, he didn't play in the Garden for like 2 years. And, you know, he was expecting after they beat up on the Nets on Friday night, which coming into that game, the Nets and the Lakers were winless. But of course, as you know, the Lakers won in Brooklyn. So Lakers were trying to extend their, you know, their slim one game winning streak, their first one of the season, to 2 games, entering to the Garden in what could be Kobe Bryant's last game. And, you know, basically the Knicks outplayed them. You know, Carmelo had 24 points. Lopez had his best game as a Knick, 14 points, 13 rebounds. And a lot of other players, you know, they produced. And, of course, you know, the Knicks won by the final score of 99-95. And Knicks, at the end of the game, they went on an 11-0 run to seal the game. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Calderon finally didn't play like a bitch. And yeah, this was a good win. I mean, this is a team that you're supposed to beat. So this was a game that they were supposed to win. I mean, I still think Calderon and Vucevic should be benched. I think
agree.
Galloway should be starting, and also Williams as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they did a good job. You know, they're 3-4. But, you know, considering the opponents they played, I would say, you know, this is not a bad start right now, you know.
I agree with you. And this is the first win at the Garden.
Yep.
And finally they got that, thank goodness. And, you know, like you said, they had some tough losses, you know, to teams that were expected to lose, the Spurs, the Cavs, most recently Hawks. So, yeah, all in all, the Knicks are playing pretty well. They're playing as competitive as me and you. And, yes, dare I say it, Charles Barkley expected them to do. I mean, obviously, the record doesn't show that. But, you know, the season's still early. And speaking of the season being early, the Knicks and the Lakers don't usually play this early in the regular season.
That's true.
You know, it's usually a marquee game. You know, they play, you know, like maybe on Christmas Day, and it's usually like a prime, you know, like a primetime game on ABC or ESPN or TNT on Thursdays. But yeah, this was like a throwaway game, I guess, because of the, you know, the records of the team, how horrible these teams have been these past couple of years. But come on, this is Lakers Knicks, man. This rivalry is right up there, you know, with the Celtics and the Lakers. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a little too early, but hey, as long as you win, I don't care what time of year it is.
Yeah, my only regret is I wish I was in person to see this game. But
yeah, me too.
But, you know, hey, most importantly, like you said, the Knicks win. So congrats to them. And moving on, the Giants return. And, they got the victory. And most importantly, they stopped their losing streak. And JPP returned and basically helped them get this victory. What's your thoughts on today's performance?
Yeah, it was a good Giant win. Eli had two touchdowns. They played some great defense in that fourth quarter. JPP had a decent game. I was curious to see how he would play, you know, with one hand. But he did a good job. He looks like the old JPP, you know, even with the missing fingers on that hand. Giants win this game 32-18, I think it is. And right now they're 5-4, so they're still winning the division right now by a game. Great performance by the Giants, considering that they lost that shootout game last week against the Saints.
Steelers. Oh, no, the Saints, right. Yeah, you're right, right. Breeze had 7 touchdowns, which, I mean, that's like, you know, that goes without saying. Impressive.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Giants, a good comeback win today in Tampa. So, hopefully Giants can continue, you know, and hold on to this lead in the NFC East.
Absolutely. And the other team in town, they also snapped their losing streak. The Jets, they won by the final score of 28-23, and they defeated the Jacksonville Jaguars at MetLife Stadium. Of course, you know, the Jets, they rebounded from their most recent loss to the Raiders when basically, you know, Fitzpatrick and Smith got injured in that game. But, you know, you got to give the Jets some credit. You know, Ivory didn't have a good game today, but Fitzpatrick, you know, he's still hurt. You know, he gutted it out, and, you know, he helped the team get the victory. So congrats to him and the Jets coming away with the W.
Yeah, congrats.
And also, in hockey, the Rangers have the Rangers and the Devils have been playing well, you know, lately. You know, the Rangers, as we speak right now, they're 10-2, and they're currently on a 5-game winning streak. And the Devils, they're on a 2-game winning streak, and their record is 8-5. And Devils, they just recently won in overtime. So both the Devils and the Rangers are doing well. And
yeah,
the Islanders, I mean, you know, they're 7-5-3, but they're trying to prevent a potential 3-game losing streak right now. So far the teams, you know, they're doing well.
Yeah, the Rangers, you know, still leading the conference right now. And, you know, it's all about, right now with the Rangers, it's all about the playoffs, you know, like it used to be with the Knicks back in the 90s. You know, the regular season doesn't mean nothing. It's all about the playoffs. And Rangers have made the conference finals in 3 of the last 4 years or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they got to get over that hump, man. And hopefully this year, this is the year where they win the Stanley Cup title. You know, last year they lost, you know, in a heartbreak to what team was
it? To the Lightning
in the conference finals, right?
Exactly, right.
So hopefully they got to get over that hump, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get back to the Stanley Cup finals and try to win it all.
Yeah, they're basically in the similar situation with the Mets, except they've had much more success, a lot more success, you know, recently.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're both both teams are both trying to get back to the promised land, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, bring the title back to New York. But, yeah, well, you know, lastly, Survivor Series, man, major news, man. There will be a new champion at the Survivor Series. Why? Because Seth Rollins has a – he tore his ACL and his MCL, so he's going to be gone for, like, 6 to 9 months. I mean, basically 9 months, man. He could have a baby by then, by the time he comes out.
Yeah, for real.
It's really – really messed up, you know, what happened to him. I mean, obviously, he's a heel. You know, I want, as much as I wanted to see the title off his hands, I want him to lose the old-fashioned way, having, you know, Ambrose or, Reigns beat him, you know. But unfortunately, because of this injury, you know, he had to vacate the title. But the only good thing about it is that we're going to have the return of the Deadly Games that we had in WWE in 98. I don't know if they're going to call it Deadly Games again since, you know, they're PC nowadays. But, you know, thank goodness they're going to have a tournament again. And it should be interesting to see, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be very interesting, you know. I think Reigns is going to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes, well, I thought he was going to win it anyway.
Me too.
It'll be an easier route now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I thought either way Reigns was going to win the title, but now it's just a, you know, a fait accompli, you know, basically it's a done deal. He's going to win the title anyway. So basically, hopefully it'll be an awesome tournament and, you know, hopefully, you know, Rollins will put some marquee matches and, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get a competitive and awesome Survivor Series tournament. And of course, you know, the Wyatt family, they, Bray Wyatt revealed on Raw that he stole Undertaker and Kane's soul. So now he has both of their powers. He has the lightning and thunder of Undertaker and he got the fire of Kane, you know. So it's going to be interesting what he's going to do. And how are they going to – how is Undertaker and Kane going to return? Because if you remember, this is similar to the Kane story when Kane stole Undertaker's power a few years ago, but they had Paul Bearer come back and give him the urn, and he was able to get his powers back, which, you know, it made perfect sense how he got his powers back, even though obviously it's a fictional storyline. But, you know, it made sense. I don't know how – Bray Wyatt has Kane and Undertaker's soul. Are they going to have Sting somehow release them, and then that's how they form a Survivor Series tag team? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to pull that off. Hopefully tomorrow Sting will return and it'll make more sense.
Bray Wyatt's going to get his ass kicked, man.
No doubt about that. There's no doubt he's going to get his butt kicked. And what's his name? Braun Strowman. He's finally gonna get his first loss.
Yeah, he's gonna get his ass kicked too. For real.
So it's gonna be interesting how that match is gonna be. And basically, you know what they should. So this basically makes back to Reigns. This makes his number one contender thing meaningless, unless they say he gets a bye for the first round because of it. I mean, he really won the number one contender to face Seth Rollins for nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're going to have a tournament, so hopefully they do something that ties it into it.
Maybe he does get a bye. Maybe you're right.
It makes sense. They have to do something for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard about WrestleMania. The rumor is that Triple H is going to fight Rock, as we all expected. But the other rumor we've been hearing for years looks like it's going to happen, but it's not what we want. It's not going to be Undertaker versus Sting. It's going to be Undertaker versus Cena. And I bet you shared my opinion on your thoughts.
WrestleMania?
For WrestleMania. What's your thoughts on Cena, Undertaker?
I thought that should have happened a few years ago, you know?
I agree. I read your mind, and I know why. When they should have did that. For the streak,
Yeah.
Now without the streak, I mean, other than having these two legends finally battle each other at WrestleMania, and those two guys haven't wrestled in a while against each other, there's no added intrigue. I mean, my hope is that, you know, in this Survivor Series match, is that maybe Undertaker will, you know, turn on Sting, and it'll force a mini feud between the both of them. They have, like, maybe two or three matches before WrestleMania, since if Cena's going to fight Undertaker, and after they resolve that, then Cena will battle Undertaker at WrestleMania. Because I think they should at least make Sting battle against Undertaker at least once or twice, if that's not going to be the WrestleMania match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I think it's dumb, but...
Yeah. I think they should have waited until WrestleMania to do it, but they should at least appease the fan to make them at least fight at least once before WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? Test the water, see? If they'll actually meet our expectations instead of just assuming because those guys are both over 50 years old, it's going to be a bad match. Who knows? I mean, look at Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Who would have thought those matches would have been off the charts, even though both of those guys, you know, are up there in age. You know, they both were in their 40s, you know, at that point. But those guys still carried the match. They still, like, the fans were chanting, you know, you not rock at the Survivor Series years ago. You still got it. You know, that those guys still got it. Those guys still know what they're doing. So I think they should give Sting and Undertaker a chance if they're not going to, even if they don't battle each other at WrestleMania. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. You have any words you'd like to say?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. So we'll see what happens. But, check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11. I'd like you to check out Sports of Religion every Saturdays at midnight.
Yeah, new night. I suppose it'll be on this Saturday at midnight. So thank you guys for listening all these years on Sports of the Legend. I hope to see you guys next week. I'm William Mamo. This is Macaulay Matthew. And have a great weekend, guys.